Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls. We have a very special guest on the line. We're going to be interviewing Zach Kaplan. Zach, how are you?
I'm good. Hi guys.
And if you don't know, Zach is the writer for Eclipse from Top Cow and Image Comics.
That's right.
And he has his trade coming out, Volume 1 of Eclipse, coming out on February 15th, 2017. It's a $10 trade, and everybody is obligated to buy it.
That's right. It's unfortunately a mandatory purchase. So I think you get fined like $11 or $12 if you don't buy it. So
yeah, it's cheaper to just buy it. And make it the number one.
Not buy it. Yeah, I don't think up the rules. This is just it's a new Image thing they're doing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we all have to do it.
Yeah, it's an Image diamond kind of.
Yeah.
It's a scam, but it's a great scam. There's no way around it. If you are a hardcore comics person and you need to know the diamond code, it's December 16, 0754. How's that for being prepared? I had the diamond code.
Nice.
Yeah. Sometimes I do good. And other times, well, we won't talk about it. So I will just dive right in here. And my first question for you is, what inspired you growing up? What comics, what movies, what books, what cartoons, any of that kind of fun stuff?
Oh, yeah. I'm a kid that straddled the 80s and the 90s, but... You know, I was a young kid in the 80s, and so I got to go to all the classic 80s stuff. I mean, Star Wars, Goonies, Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, anything that was big and fantastical, that was what I was into. I was reading comics. I was reading, I think maybe more towards the 90s I started reading comics when I was a teenager. I was doing X-Men and Spider-Man and Wolverine, and I branched out and did Spawn and things here and there. I was a huge Trekkie. I watched a ton of Star Trek Next Generation, ton of all sorts of pulpy stuff, you know. I watched a ton of television when I was growing up, played a ton of video games. I was a big nerd.
Nice.
I was a big geek. I was into anything science fiction, anything that was geeky. I was into it.
Awesome.
Yeah, but I wasn't. I was into lots of fantastical stuff, I think. I mean, all the like gritty, darker stuff. I found that later in life, like. You know, I came back to Blade Runner. I came back to Godfather. I came back to those kinds of things. You know, when I was growing up, it was anything that caught my imagination was kind of what I responded to.
Nice, nice. What's like the cheesy 80s, like quintessential kind of 80s movie that you just like, you love? You said Goonies, which is a very classic pick. Is there anything else that's like super 80s movie-wise that you love?
I mean, I watched The Labyrinth tons. Good Lord. I mean, the bench is deep, guys.
It is.
You know, I mean, everything from the John Hughes stuff, you know, to there's your Breakfast Clubs, and then there's your Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I mean,
nice.
Any John Candy or Steve Martin comedy. I was a Bill Murray comedy. I was a fan of all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. I geeked out on lots of stuff growing up. That was, in terms of classic 80s stuff, though, it's hard not to do the Goonies or the ETs or
right.
the... some of that kind of fantasy stuff. That was, I say fantasy because it, you know, it's like captures the imagination kind of thing, as opposed to a comedy or a thriller.
Yeah.
But I watched a ton of stuff. It's like asking someone what their favorite song is, you know what I mean? There's so much.
Oh man, what's your favorite song?
What's your favorite the one that goes da da da. That one's really great. Oh
man, classic.
I actually like jumping around in genres. I've always done that. Like music, I've listened to everything from like hip hop to ska and punk to electronic to cheesy pop. Sometimes I get pulled into. I mean, I'll listen to any rock and roll. I mean, I'll listen to anything. And I think movies and TV is the same way. I mean, I remember going on a Perry Mason kick. I was a huge Perry Mason and Columbo.
Nice.
You know, back to the 80s. I mean,
Quincy M.E.?
Huh?
Did you do Quincy M.E.?
No.
Oh, man. It's Klugman. You got to dig that one up. You would like that one.
I would. I would that one. I think Angela Lansbury was solving mysteries on my list, too, at that
nice.
Time. I mean, when you're like 10 years old, I don't know. Back then, I would watch anything, too. I don't know if you guys were like that. I'd watch anything.
Yeah, I would watch anything. I would watch the same cartoons over and over again, the same movies.
Oh, yeah.
And
Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, back when X-Men was a cartoon.
Right, yeah. The X-Men 92.
Yeah. I would watch all sorts of that kind of stuff. I was never a snob. I was always the guy who was like, I liked it. You know what I mean? Like, there'd be that guy who was like, nah, man, Terminator 2 sucks. It's a Terminator 1. And I'm like, I thought it was fun. I liked it. That T-1000 was cool, you know? So I was always very easy to please when it came to movies and TV. As long as, you know, I just geek out on anything.
That's great, man. That's great. That's cool, though. Hold on a second here.
Coming for you.
Yeah, no. There is a...
New Jersey doesn't like to play with us today.
No. They're torturing us with this. There's a firehouse, like, right around the corner. Oh, my God.
Put a pin in it.
Of all the days.
Of all the days, exactly.
All right.
You need to pre-record some guys from, like, a movie that are, like, storming in, like, get down to the ground, and the next time you're podcasting, you hear this, you just play that thing and say, excuse us, we're getting raided, you know, and you can just confuse fans. People will be like, wait, are they actually getting raided? What's going on? I heard the sirens, and now someone's busting in.
Oh, man. The Zach Kaplan interview ended early when the police came for him. We have all the footage.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to a new question for you, sir. And the next question I got for you is, was there a specific comic you recall reading that made you go, yes, that's what I want to do, I want to write comics?
It was an author. I can for sure say it was an author.
Mm-hmm.
It was Warren Ellis.
Okay.
Because growing up, I had always read superhero stuff. And I never got into some of the more interesting stuff that was coming out in the 80s and 90s. I was always just the go-to superheroes. And then early 2000s, I went deeper into comics and I found Warren Ellis. There were some other guys I found. I found Greg Rucka and Queen and Country, which was awesome. I found Brian K. Vaughan and Why the Last Man. And there were several other things. But I remember reading some Warren Ellis and just going, wait, this is a comic book? This is not a superhero. This is really interesting and really different and really cool. And especially some of the science fiction stuff, Transmetropolitan, Ocean, there's stuff like that that I was just like, this is cool. So I remember going through a phase, and that was really what hooked me into realizing the comics could be more.
That's great. That's a really good list of authors for sure.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, I mean, that was. I mean, that when was that, like 02, 03? That was kind of maybe 04.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. That's great. Warren Ellis was on fire then, and I really like Garth Ennis, so I agree with you there.
And Preacher. Yeah, Preacher was one that I remember getting into, just thinking this is some crazy awesome stuff. you know, I don't know, when you grow up on, I'm sure there are other comic book fans out there like me who didn't go deep until the early 2000s, who just they're reading Spider-Man and X-Men and Wolverine and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you go past that shelf to the next shelf and you kind of go, whoa, there's some crazy stuff going on here. So, but it's awesome. I mean, I was never even as twisted as Warren Ellis or Garth Ennis, but it was that kind of stuff that makes you go, wait a minute, this is anything. Comics can be anything. And that was that kind of broke my expectations of comics in a good way, and made me really, that was also what inspired me to want to write, you know, because then when I realized what comic books could be, because I never thought about writing superheroes. I always wanted to tell stories that were provocative and different. Not that I wouldn't be, I would be opposed to telling a superhero story now, mm-hmm. but I never thought about it back then. And so, you know, it was thought-provoking writers like those that really got me into it.
Nice. Let's see. Is there any other published writings from you before Eclipse in other formats?
No. This is not only my first comic book, this is the first time I have been published. First time I've held something in my hands and said, yeah, I did that. It's on paper. You can buy it. So it's a really... it's been a really awesome experience.
That's great, man. Image for your very first book. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, I kind of got lucky. I mean, this is, I don't know if there are other writers that have done this. I going through Top Cow, I mean, I got lucky that Top Cow was willing to give me a chance. I think it was a lot of timing and opportunity, and they liked the idea and they decided to give me a go, and so Top Cow has published their Image, they're working with Image, and so I kind of fell into the I guess Image is indie. Do you guys call Image indie?
I don't consider them indie anymore. They're definitely, I mean, they're in the top 10 trades all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they're really like those. I would say my pull bin is like, you know, 80% Image, actually.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So yeah, I've been reading all this stuff, but I didn't realize, I mean, I've been pitching comics for years, trying to get a break in. And then I got my break with Top Cow. And then suddenly it was like, wait a minute, Top Cow publishes with Image, right?
Right.
I mean, I knew that, but like when it was all coming together, it was a very like, holy crap moment. Like, my first book is going to be an Image book. This is crazy. So yeah, I just smiled and nodded and hoped no one had made a mistake and said, I'm going to try to turn out an awesome comic book.
It definitely is. It's definitely great. So let's dive into Eclipse.
Yeah.
I loved your notes and your messages to the reader in each issue. You thank the fans. You show different processes for the writing, the drawing, the lettering. Was that your idea? And if so, how important is it to you to connect with the comic reader?
Well, I mean, that's everything to me, because that's where I come from as a reader and a fan. And I'm still so new to the game of being a creator, so I take a tremendous amount of appreciation when someone says they're reading my book. I mean, I'm very appreciative of that. So, I mean, very early on when they came to us and said to Giovanni and the artist and I, what do you guys want to do in the back matter? And we said, what do you mean the back matter? Oh, yeah, right, that stuff in the back. We were like, oh, we should, I mean, I don't know, it just kind of came out organically. We should show what we're doing. I mean, we should open it up and start to share some of these layouts and pencils and inks, and we should talk about the process and our collaboration and just share it. And we started, and people loved it. I mean, when the first issue came out, in addition to getting a lot of, praise for the story itself, a lot of people really loved the candid nature, I guess, in the way in which we were talking about the process and really open it up. So that became kind of a fixture. And we did like a fan art contest because I was like, well, Eclipse is my first book, so I want to give another writer out there, I mean, another artist out there an opportunity to get a break in some way. So I think everything for me coming in as a first-time creator really defined, I wanted the experience to be as intimate as I could in terms of letting people see what was going on and what I was going through. And so it was more about me wanting to share it. And then I guess people responded to it.
Yeah. I entered your fan art contest. I did. I don't know if you remember. I tweeted you. I said, I'm not that good, so I'm going to send you really bad art. And I did that, and I felt really good about it.
That's good.
Actually, there's so I don't know if I've told you this. I actually work at a comic book store, the comic book store in Glassboro, New Jersey. And there's a great story. You had actually cold called the store one day. You were trying to get people aware of your book, which creators will do that sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was really great because you didn't get me. You got Joe, who works at the store, and he was so excited that you called because I had forced him to add the book to his bin.
Nice.
And he had read issue 1 and 2 like the day before, and he's like, do they normally call? This is great. That guy's awesome. And he was like, he was so happy that he got to talk to you for all of, I don't know, a minute.
That's awesome.
So.
Yeah, I mean, being a enthusiastic creator, you know, like here it is. It's my first, so yeah, I've definitely reached out to lots of shops, and just to try to put the book on their radar. Because even though it's an image book, I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle in between the Remenders and the Brubakers out there. I want shops to take a look at it. So yeah, I've reached out to some. It's always fun because people, it's funny because people there, I have had people geek out like that, but the funny thing is like, I don't feel that way. So I'm like, why are they geeking out? I'm just calling to tell them about Eclipse. And they're like, it's awesome. Why is this guy calling? And I'm like, wait, why are you geeking out? I'm just calling. So it's funny. I don't, you know, I'm just like, I don't feel like big or anything, you know, so I'm like, why is this guy excited? I'm just telling him about Eclipse, but
that means you're doing something right.
I guess so. I mean, this is my first book, so I guess it's a testament to people liking the book, and that's awesome. I mean, that's the best kind of response that I could get, you know, is having someone say I'm excited to be talking to you because I like your work, you know. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was super excited. So Eclipse is a mix of apocalyptic, murder mystery, a little bit of survival comic. So in your own words, to somebody who hasn't seen it at all, how would you describe Eclipse, and how close is the final product to your original vision?
I usually describe it as such. I say it's a world where the sun will burn you alive. The sun is turned into a deadly monster, and if you go outside, you burn. So society's flipped. People work at night and sleep during the day. And then there's a killer going around killing people using sunlight, and it's up to the hero to stop him. That's usually my elevator pitch. It is kind of, you mentioned it, it is a mashup of lots of different genres, which is something I like to do. And I think it kind of makes a story more interesting when it's more than one type of thing. I think it is pretty close to what I wanted it to be. I mean, there's no real like disappointment in the way anything turned out. I had a killer team, the artists and the colorist and the letterer brought it to life. It's the story came together. I was really happy with it. I think the interesting facet to the question is like, as a writer, you're always looking back on stuff, thinking about how you could do something better. But I mean, when it's done, you just kind of have to accept it and be proud of it for what it is. And I'm definitely proud of it for what it is. But I mean, that's the crazy thing. If you asked me to do it all over from scratch, I'd probably do a lot of, I'd do some things the same, I'd do some things different. So, but that would happen over and over and over again. Like if I was trapped in some sort of Twilight Zone episode where I had to do a clip over and over and over again, I would never do it the same way. It would always, each time I would find a different way to do it. There's no one way even for one writer to do it. I think most writers would agree to that. I think most writers would say, no, I'd do it differently. And then if they did it again differently, they'd still do it differently. So, but yeah, I'm very happy with it. Very happy.
Nice, nice. I really enjoyed the combination of your writing with Giovanni Timpano's art, and the lettering was really good. It was top notch. So how does the creative team kind of come together?
In what way? What do you mean? Just how do we collaborate?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like a new era. It's not like, you know, Lee and Kirby sitting in the bullpen anymore. It's kind of like everybody, you know, you live in, you know, California. This guy lives over here. Like, so as far as a creative process, how does that work? It's all online, I assume.
Yeah, Giovanni lives in Italy. So everything's done online through emails and Skype. And we were very involved. I had thought of the world to a great deal, and then when we started collaborating on designs, he joined in the process, and it was very, I mean, we were very asympatico in our tastes and in our style and what we wanted. He immediately got the vision and started to make it his own vision. He challenged me, it morphed, it became our vision, and I mean, from the very beginning, he was pouring his heart and soul into it right with me. And then once we got going on the pages, you know, he does layouts and then pencils and then inks. And I participate and I get to see each one. And as we've gone from issue one now, you know, we're prepping 5 through 8. 5 comes out actually in March, so that's it, there's no prepping there. But we've been working on those, and obviously our shorthand of communicating has gotten better and faster, and we trust each other more, and we understand each other. So the collaboration's been really amazing. And then we had a great colorist. We started with a girl, Betsy Gonia, who was working at Top Cow, and she left right at the very end of the first issue. And Chris Northrup came on. He's an amazing colorist. He just brought such this like heat to the book, and like you feel the environment. It's really cool. And he and Gio and I were all collaborating, discussing what we wanted. It's been a very collaborative process. So it's been great. I really like to approach it. I come with a very strong vision, and I really like to say, here's what I envision, and then be very open to letting the people I'm working with say, and here's what I envision, so that we can all find it. I never want to think that it has to be my way or my vision. I have a clear picture, and then I want people to come and affect my picture and change my picture and make it our picture together. So I always really like heavy collaboration and heavy discussion. I like to facilitate that. I like people to exchange ideas. So that kind of was the environment that we were in, which was awesome.
So no angry doodling on a napkin or anything like that?
No. I mean, no. But I mean, we weren't afraid to have detailed conversations. Gio and I especially, we really worked well together, and I mean, we you don't know that going into it, but we were both very heady, detail-oriented guys, aspiring to do the best we possibly could, and also able to put our egos aside and really just talk about the work. And so, is this right? Well, I don't think this is right, but then that's not right. I mean, what about this, and then this and that, and then you find it. And I think you have to be willing to push through those discussions. You have to be able to have hard discussions about story and have no ego associated to elevate the story. And Gio and I fell into that naturally. And so we're much more simpatico, but we still have detailed conversations. Wait a minute, what about this? Okay, well, I mean, he'll even point out story things to me, and I'm totally receptive. You know, I'll say, well, here's what's going to happen, and he'll say, well, is that fit the world as well? What about this? And I'll say, that's fair, that's a good point, but then we'd have to do it like this, and then we come up with it. So it's been a really great working relationship. I got lucky. I don't know if a lot of writers and artists at first pairing like that, if that happens.
You need to stick with him and just do every single book. He can, you know.
You joke. I don't know. I hope no one comes and steals him away from me. If you're listening, try it, because I'll fight you for him. I gotta find a way to close him off from the real world so he doesn't know that anybody likes him or wants him, and then I can just be like, it's going okay, Gio. Just keep drawing the next book and our new stuff, and just we'll see. And hopefully he doesn't realize how much he's liked.
That's great. Your main character of David Baxter, he's an interesting character. He's very focused on his job. He seems a little tormented as well, but he seems very capable to fulfill whatever task needs to get done. How much of that is you in that character?
Oh, not a lot. No, not a lot. I might identify with other guys. I mean, as a writer, you have to be able to put yourself in any character's shoes, but no, David Baxter is different from me in so many ways. He'd kick my ass. He'd get annoyed with me probably very easily because he doesn't like to connect. He doesn't like a lot of... I mean, this is a guy who likes to be left alone. I'm a pretty social guy. He's tormented. I mean, the thing is, he's a pretty stock character, you know? Like, in some ways, I get that he feels familiar because he's your classic rugged hero who doesn't talk a lot and is in this kind of detective protecting role, and he's got, you know, a past that he's tormented by. So, you know, when you come up with those things, I've always felt that no idea is cliche, only execution is cliche. And so my challenge was just to try to create as an authentic experience as possible through some of these familiar emotions. So, you know, we've read, you know, everyone's experienced lots of redemptive stories and lots of stories of guys with pain to pass. So it's just my goal was to make him human and try to allow people to connect to him. But no, I'm not tormented. I'm a pretty happy.
That's good. I'm glad you're not tormented.
I'm not tormented. And I'm probably the other character, Cielo, is the rebellious rich party girl. That's not me either. You might be surprised to hear that. So I'm not a serial killer. But you know, you put your mind into characters when you're writing them. You have to be able to tap into it in some way.
Right. Now, will David Baxter remain the focal point of the story, or are you going to focus on other parts and other the world of Eclipse, so to speak? I know, for example, like Southern Bastards from Image, they focus on characters for an arc, and then some of the background characters become the main character in other arcs. How expansive is the world of Eclipse?
I'd like to... the second arc, for example, focuses on Cielo a lot more, and Bax stays with us. So that was my opportunity to keep Bax with us, but to spend some more time with Cielo and see the world from her point of view. I would like to continue to do that in some ways as the story goes on, is to look at maybe some of the other characters that we've experienced and how they see it. But I think at the core, it is a story about Bax and Cielo. They're really the window through. And so I'd like to be able to explore other characters, but I don't think I'm going to pull a Southern Bastards where I pull the rug out and I flip. I think it's really about these two characters and how and their experience. And, you know, that's, I think, I totally understand the appetite for maybe seeing more of the world of Eclipse, and we very well might, but at present I'm trying to explore as much of these characters and this city and this immediate world as I possibly can. And then, if I do it and I feel like that's been fulfilled and there's still an appetite, then certainly I would love to go somewhere else in the world and see it. I think that it could very easily work telling Eclipse Los Angeles or Eclipse Europe, or, to see what's gone on and follow other characters, because the dilemma is right to see how would other characters handle this experience in this world. But in the near future, it's going to focus on these characters.
Nice. Now, do you have a set goal, number of issues to do? I know you want to write this, forever, because everybody wants to write their story forever. But sometimes people plan to write, like 50 issues and I'm done. Or do you have any goals like that with Eclipse?
The thing I'm learning more and more about comics since I'm a new writer is you can't do that. And as much as when I started, I would like to say, I'd like to do X number of issues. I mean, the reality is that there's a whole business side of it that controls that. I mean, that would be like, Sam Esmail had a hit with Mr. Robot on USA, but he didn't go, yeah, I've got seven seasons to tell. He didn't know he was going to get through season one. And as much as he might know that this is a story of this character and might know where he could take that character, you have to be prepared to not. So the thing I'm learning, as successful as Eclipse has been and the first run has been great, we're super excited about the next one, I'm trying to change the way I think about it to be more episodic and to say, all right, I've told the second arc, I have an idea of what I want the third arc to be, I have an idea of where these characters can go emotionally, but in terms of charting out to issue 20 or issue 30, it's hard to do that at this point in the game. And so as long as people are enjoying it and there's an appetite, I would love to continue it. I can definitely say I have an idea of where I'd go up to 12, because that would be the third arc, and I'm already starting to think about that. But much past that, I'm trying not to get too big picture on the whole thing.
Okay, that's good. Now, your book has a religious overtone at times as it relates to your antagonist, who I loved as a character, but as well as your solar power mogul character, as it relates to like his hold over the city. I enjoyed the blurring of lines between power and religion and hope. Was it intentional to make the reader unsure how to feel about so many characters?
Yes. Yeah, I like complex characters. I don't want to watch a killer who you go, well, that guy's a jerk and he's got no right. It's far more interesting to go, yeah, he's I get it. I maybe wouldn't go that dark if I was in his shoes, but I get it. And those are the most interesting guys. When I think about any killer, the best killers from movies and pop culture, your John Doe from Seven or Hannibal Lecter, you got to empathize and understand them to some regard. And the best, the villains, you pointed out the guy who runs this solar company who's kind of got his grip on the city. You get it. And more, actually. One thing I really, that's Cielo's father, and she's really getting explored in the second arc, so it becomes even more complex of when you're trying to protect the city and when you're trying to keep a city together in a situation like this, are you the good guy or the bad guy in terms of doing some bad things that maybe need to be done? So
yeah, he was definitely one of my favorite characters because I could see him easily being, the White Knight character or the Black Knight character. It could go either way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just comes from thinking about why your characters are doing what they do, and that's what, you know, and if they have a motivated reason, and then you've got different characters who have different motivations who are then thrown together to face off against each other, it makes it so much more entertaining, because you're obviously we lean towards the people who feel like good guys, but it makes it more complex because you go, wait a minute though, but I understand where the bad guys are coming from, and they're really not bad. And so yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
So comics is kind of a small, but it's an open environment. Have you made any friends? Have you got to do the whole con circuit and whatnot yet?
I'm just starting to. I'm actually, it's a little bit harder to do the cons with issues than the trade. So the fact that the trade is now out, it's going to be a little easier for me. So I'm starting to line up a bunch of cons for 2017. And I'm going to do some here in California, East Bay, Long Beach, and then and San Diego. And then I'm branching out. I'll do C2E2, Comic Palooza. And then I'm looking to sign up for some more, see if I get out east. I'll probably do New York. And so I'm still slowly meeting people. I've met a few people over the past few months. But yeah, I still feel like it's a big world, and there's lots, and I think the trade is really there's another club within the club, and having the trade it makes it a lot easier than just having an issue out. So
right, I definitely understand that. Working at a comic store, there's a whole other group of people that come in and read comics, and they just do the trades, and they could care less about the issues, and the trade is very, very vital to the industry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited to have the trade out, because we had a very good response to the first issue, and so I know there's a lot of readers out there who read issue one and then they wait for the trade, so I'm excited to give those people what they've been waiting for, and you know, finally they can catch up. So so yeah, it'll be really cool.
Did you get to hang out with Matt Hawkins at all yet?
Oh yeah. I hung out with Matt a lot.
He's a character.
Mark Sylvester a little bit. They're great guys. I mean, Matt Hawkins is a beast.
He is.
The guy. Yeah. Have you guys talked to him?
I got to meet him. He was in Jersey not that long ago, and my wife loved him. My wife doesn't love anything, I'm pretty sure, so, yeah, no, he was great.
I mean, he gave me my break, you know, he's the one that supported Eclipse, so, and the sheer volume that this guy writes, and the quality is good.
Yeah.
It's really, quite amazing. I mean, he's just churns out one thing after another, and he's running Top Cow, and he's traveling everywhere. I mean, I'm like, yeah, I'm doing Eclipse, and man, it's crazy. And he's like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, because you're doing it times six. So okay, fair enough. Yeah, but they're great guys, and I've met a lot of the Top Cow family is really cool. I mean, I've met Brian Edward Hill, and there's some other guys. There's an editor at Top Cow. Ryan Caddy, who's now coming out with Magdalena, and there's a bunch of artists so I've definitely met a lot of the Top Cow talent a bit more than the Image talent, but I've also stayed predominantly in Southern California. Mm-hmm. for a lot of the cons last fall, so I'm excited to go and meet some other people but Matt's a great guy for sure.
When you guys get out east, maybe if you do New York, we got to get a poker game with Matt.
do you play poker?
I will play poker with you. Yeah.
You know I'm a poker nut.
I do. I know you can take all my money. I still think it's a good idea.
I would love to see if I get Matt to play poker. Now that would be a lot of fun. Listen, you don't have to pull my arm. You might have to get a couple drinks in him. I feel like he'd do it if you bought him a couple rounds, I'm always up for a good game of poker.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're doing that. That's happening. That'll be fun.
Done.
So there's been a huge revival of sci-fi in general in comics over the past few years, especially at Image. Is there any other type of story that's... Because sci-fi is kind of a broad genre. Some argue it's not even a genre. But within sci-fi, is there any type of story you want to tackle? Perhaps try a completely different genre. Or you just... It's Eclipse right now, and you're not thinking beyond that, so to speak.
No, I am thinking beyond that. I am cooking up some other ideas, and there are some things in the works, but nothing that I can at present go into detail about. But okay. I definitely am staying in the sci-fi world. And, I think there's lots of different variations on sci-fi, you know.
There's a ton.
Eclipse is unique because it's like quasi post-apocalyptic and quasi dystopian, but that's, you know, but I definitely don't think I do another post-apocalyptic thing. That's my post-apocalyptic thing. But there's so many other sub-genres in sci-fi, so I'm definitely looking forward to tackling some of those. But I'm never going to do... Listen, who knows? I don't want to say never to anything. But sure. I definitely think in the near future, for me, it's sci-fi, it's thriller, it's action. Okay. That's the area that I'm most attracted to right now.
Nice. That's because of all those 80s movies you watched.
Right. Well, definitely the sci-fi stuff. Eclipse is a little darker than some of the stuff I was watching back then. But a lot of that stuff that I mentioned, I mean, to bring it full circle, like... watching so many things that tapped into my imagination, I love world building. And so I think definitely I would like to continue to tell stories where, in addition to having an interesting story, that there's an interesting world that people go, oh, that's a cool world, I want to step into that world. That's very important to me.
Gotcha. So we're running low on time here, so I'm going to skip a couple questions. I'm going to go to the fan questions here.
Oh, we have some fan questions?
We have fan questions. Yes.
Nice. Let's do them.
So let's make sure we get these in. So first, for the fan questions, how much attention do you pay to panels and the overall layout writing Eclipse, and how important is the pacing of the book?
Wow. Great question. Whoever gave that question, great question. The paneling is super important. It's also where I put the most pressure on myself. And because I feel that pacing is one of the most essential high-level facets to a comic book. I mean, you need a good story, you need good characters, you need good art, you need all these things, but pacing is where the masters define themselves. And so I am really trying to learn how to pace as best I can. So I put a lot of attention on pacing. And how much story do I put into a book, or how little? I want there to be enough action. I want there to be enough character. I want there to be enough mystery. And in terms of the actual layouts of the page, it's interesting. I put less attention on it into the script. I give Giovanni a lot more flexibility. You know, in the beginning, I would say, this is 5 panels and here's the way it is. And I was much more specific. Now I'll say to him, this is 5 or 6 panels, and this panel could be split up into 3 small panels, or it could be 1, and hey, these 2 pages, I think there's a splash page potential, but if not, here it breaks down into 10 panels over 2 pages. You can decide where the page break is. I mean, I give him a lot more freedom, but then in turn, what's evolved in our collaboration is he sends me the layouts, and so I think most of our collaboration takes place in the paneling layout. He'll send me his interpretation from the script, and then I'll say, could we do this, and can we do this, and what do you think about this? And once we've got the panels locked and we've come to agreement, he pretty much goes off and rips out pencils and inks. I have very little to say about it. He's a master. I let him do what he wants to do. The layouts is where we collaborate the most in terms of the paneling. I like, as I write the script, putting less pressure on myself to define what it is in the script and allow more of it to come out through the process of collaborating with the artist, give him a chance to influence what he thinks it can be, and then just to fine tune it together. That's where, and that was very different than when I started. So that's the process for that.
Nice, very good answer, sir. Our next fan question is, are there any people or fictional characters that inspired you when you were developing your characters for Eclipse?
Are there any people or characters that inspired me as I was developing Eclipse? I think I looked at movies like Blade Runner and Seven, which I thought had a quality to them that I wanted to emulate. And so I definitely looked at Decker in Blade Runner as a source of inspiration. I think Bax is very different than him. Bax is more blue collar. Bax is different. But I wanted that quality, and I definitely tried to draw inspiration from Seven in terms of the killer's methodical nature. I wanted the killer to be more clever than the people he was going up against. I wanted you to go, damn, this guy is smart. So that was something I came to realize from looking at some properties like that. I've never been the kind of writer that goes, yeah, that guy's my best friend. I turned him into a character, and my character creation is far more organic in terms of, I don't draw from people I know. But I do draw from stories and experiences I know. And I there's too much influence out there not to. Those were a couple touchstones. I don't think there's any, I'm not sure if there's any others.
All right, so I have one more fan question, and that question is, what changes would you make if you were developing a screenplay for Eclipse?
Everyone always goes to movie, but I think television. Can we adapt
sure.
it for television?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's change it, because as I talked about the episodic nature, I think Eclipse is ripe for television as opposed to movie. To me, if I was adapting it for TV, it would slow down a lot. You know, I would definitely think that the first four issues could be a whole season, and I would think it'd be fun to have the space to explore how this has adapted daily life and influenced it. I mean, you can read the books, and you know, all sorts of questions come up, like what are they doing for food? And I can think of the cerebral answers, and I can try to hint at this, but to be able to have the room to actually show both the changes in terms of food and water and lifestyle, but more so I think the psychology of how it's affecting people. You know, that's something you can't capture. It's so hard to capture. You probably could. But there's so much limited time in comics, right? You know, I've only got 20 pages an issue. I've only got 80 pages. Some of the image books do a little bit more. But it's such a limited amount of time. But to be able, I think it'd be really fascinating to see the story play out and see how everybody is a little off because they're not getting sunlight. They're all a little... they're a little unhinged, they're a little edgy, they're all a little, they're not getting their vitamin D, you know, no matter how many vitamin D supplements they're taking, they're not getting it, and to see how that plays out across society, I think that would be the most interesting thing to explore for me, seeing it adapted.
Yeah, that's a good point, I hadn't even thought of that. That would be a challenge. For sure.
Yeah, but I think it'd be pretty cool to feel the undercurrent of people just off a little bit. You know, no one's... I think, you know, like a series like Walking Dead kind of captures that. You know, they're all kind of they're not like off in the same way, but there's certainly no one's found a way to like normalize their life. And then on the rare occasion they do stumble upon someone that has normalized this life, the reaction is, why have you guys normalized this life? This is not normal. You shouldn't normalize this life. And that's the correct way to look at it. So I think it'd be very interesting to explore more of the psychology. The problem is, when you're doing a murder mystery, you're building a whole new world and you're trying to do all this stuff. You just don't have time to spend 3 or 4 pages an issue exploring that stuff. And so the nuance that could be explored kind of gets dropped for a faster paced action thriller. So I think if someone had the freedom to actually explore how it affects people's psychology, that would be really cool.
Nice. So we're going to wrap it up here in a second. My final question I'm going to ask you, is there a specific character, it could be any company, from any time, is there a certain comic character that if you could write this character, that's the end-all be-all for you, that's what you would want to do?
In terms of a pre-existing character?
A pre-existing character, yes.
You know, I grew up on Wolverine. That would be pretty freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But people always ask, you know, the thing about Wolverine is he's been done so well so many times. So, you know, like if they called me up and they're like, we heard your answer and we want to give you a Wolverine one shot, I'd be like, man, I don't have it yet. I don't have the pitch on how to do it. I just know that would be a dream come true. I think there's some other pretty cool sci-fi. I mean, I think it'd be pretty cool to write a Mad Max or a Decker or a Han Solo, some of your sci-fi rogues. That would be pretty awesome. But I'll put Wolverine at the top.
There you go. Awesome. Well, we're going to close it on out. What would you like to plug, sir? Where can people find you?
Oh, I'm all over social media. They can find me Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm on, it's all Zach Capps, ZACKKAPS. And the only thing to plug is right now, the Eclipse, the trade comes out February 15th. And hey, thanks to everybody who's supporting it. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, I have one last surprise before we take it home, I guess.
Yes, sir.
We have friends who also have a podcast. It's called Superliminal Films. The gist of their podcast is every week they pick a movie and they remake it with a budget of $1 million, and they try to see where they can cut costs. It's kind of a fun exercise. I told them they have to do Eclipse, and they said they will.
What? Wait, they redo the story?
They take the existing movie, in this case the comic, and they say, how could we turn this into a movie for a budget of under $1 million? So
it's
a fun exercise. I told them they had to do it, and they said, please don't hurt me, we'll do it. So that'll be coming soon in the near future as well. Some more Eclipse love for you.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, tell them to definitely find me and hit me up and share it with me so I can share it with all the Eclipse fans. That sounds really, really cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. You were a pleasure.
Thank you, man. You guys too. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Thank you. Make sure everybody goes and checks out everything Eclipse.